It's time for another splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 30 Rack Way, beautiful New Windsor, Illinois. Wonderful Buckatorium. I'm Steve. In the studio today is Doug.
Yo.
Eric.
Yellow.
Kurt.
Hi.
And our boy, the freshly renovated studio, Dana Pace, you're the first one in here.
Well, awesome. Hold on. So Chase Ralston, don't cut our throats the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's 99.9% done.
That is true.
It's not totally done.
There's another coat of paint, and we got to run a cord still. So, yeah. Dana, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's under construction right now.
It's damn close.
It looks good.
Thank you. A lot of hard work from everybody, the crew, actually.
No, it looks awesome.
Looks good. Can't wait till it's 100% finished, but yeah, it looks really good.
Thanks for coming back so quickly, Dana, to the
show. No problem.
The fucking Squirrel Patch shirts are available on workingclassbowhunter.com. That came from your last episode.
Tis the season
for Squirrel Patches. But before we get into that, Steve needs to tell us about a veteran shout-out.
We do. The vet shout-out is actually a good buddy of mine. He just got done serving, Spencer Green. You know, I'm talking about you. I told him I'd give him a shout out. He served his country as a Marine, and now he's going to be a cop out in L.A. So he did his thing, and next time he comes into town, I'm going to whoop his ass. So, Spencer, can't wait to see you. Hopefully, I'll see you here pretty quick.
Lick?
No, damn. Whip.
That's weird, dude.
He's a veteran, man.
You say
yeah,
kiss?
He's a
kiss his ass?
He's a good dude. His brother's a vet, too, so they're the shit. I love those guys a lot.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thank you.
Well, that was a quick one. I was like, damn, Steve's unprepared. You don't have his phone out ready to read the shout out or nothing.
It actually
went pretty smooth, too.
It did.
Yeah, wow. I'm proud of you, actually.
Hey.
All right.
He'll fuck it up.
Who's our show presented by?
Oh, the show is presented by HHA.
Tell me about HHA.
Don't you know?
What's good about it?
Everything's good about it. All right, so so one of the biggest things is, everything's made in America.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part about HHA is the Virtus. Because when we originally were getting ours, HHA does very, very well with trying to take care of vets and veteran charities. So the Virtus Rest, I remember right when it was first coming out, I was so pumped about it. The 2.2% went to veterans charities, and the guys just always want to give back. Great operation they got going on up there. So they give back, and they make high-quality products. So what the hell is there not to like?
Well, Scent Crusher is also a partner of ours, and I want you to tell me, what Scent Crusher product that Steve himself uses the most?
It's definitely got to be the Room Clean.
Doug,
because
you are Steve's
room
daddy.
Clean, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, he does use it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I use that Room Clean every night before I go to bed. And what I've been doing is just so it smells pleasant when I go in there, I'll turn it on right when I go to bed. And I know when that thing shuts off because I set it for 30 minutes. So I use this quite a bit. So it cleanses the air, and by the time that 30 minutes hits, I really need to be either off my phone or thinking about going to bed.
I thought you woke up every 30 minutes to turn it back on.
Well, I stopped doing that because I was tired all day, and I would just wake up in the middle of driving like, oh, God, I got to turn my... Oh, so I...
Right? That's weird.
It's really helping my life, guys.
The podcast is also brought to you by Thermosy, and your ads are long.
Yeah, I know. I got to trim them up, my bad.
Thermosy, love them. It's kind of a cross sponsor for us because they make the seats for along with custom gear. Joey, the people behind Thermosy, Joey's dad, they're all good people. Victory Archery.
Good boys over there.
I was bummed I missed the podcast at ATA with Devin from Victory. They got some new arrows out this year. We're all shooting the RIP TKOs. Absolutely love them. I'm shooting the 60 grain inserts on those. Elite Archery. The Cure is out now. We're all shooting Rituals except for, well, you're shooting your 33, right?
Ritual, yeah. The original, the Working Class edition, but that Ritual 30 is going to be killing the turkey this year. I got a feeling.
I think I'm going to bust out Sam's Elite Spirit with the pink strings on the turkey.
There you go.
Because I'm going to shoot the guillotine.
Decaps.
Yeah, decaps.
Sorry, the decaps.
Some heads off.
That's going to be fun. Yep. Also, Big Tine is also one of our partners, and they are title sponsoring the 2020 Working Class Bowhunter shoot this year, which is really awesome of them to kind of throw their name on something we're doing full blast, like printed out and slapped everywhere. So come out and get some Big Time stuff at the shoot. I imagine Joe's going to hook it up with some Big Time merch and some goodies and food plot seed and all that. If you're from Iowa, you can maybe have a chance at winning some supplemental feed In Illinois, we don't get to do that shit, but that's a podcast with Joe from Big Time coming soon.
Yep, and the Nitro
actually,
is
on the docket.
It is. The Nitro is available, guys, that we had them on at ATA, and they were talking about, yes, you can go ahead and order the Nitro now, the Nitro series.
Sweet, sweet. So. Podcast also brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Talk about it all the time. Code WCB gets you a discount on everything in the store. The 1.0 is out, the full set. I'm running four full length with the 1.0 now. I think we're calling that other stand the DS5 or the DS.5. I call it the 0.5. I'll probably run that with some aiders on the sticks. Also, old barn taxidermy. My antelope's almost done. Julian was sending me pictures of it drying. So that's awesome. Go to Old Barn for all your taxidermy needs. They literally do everything. They're also a tannery. Pretty quick turnaround, great quality. And tell them WCB Podcast sent you, and they'll give you a high five. And it helps us.
Absolutely. It's a win-win for you guys.
Give you a high five.
Yes.
I always wanted one of those.
A high five?
Yeah.
They're pretty cool, man.
They're good.
Dana Pace is in the studio.
What's up?
Thanks for coming, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
The Squirrel Patch shirt's been selling pretty good, I feel. Have they, Eric?
Yeah,
I thought they had
selling
anyway.
Good. Yeah.
Fucking Squirrel Patch.
Dude. I had people at, where were we? Nebraska. What's that? But I'm like, well, it is exactly what it implies it is.
They don't have squirrels out there.
So let's explain what a fucking squirrel patch is at the beginning so we can make some sales.
Fucking squirrel patch. Illinois is known for their overabundance of squirrels that totally rape all of our shed antlers. And basically it's when you find a shed that's been demolished by fucking squirrels.
We've all found them.
We've all found them.
Everyone that's found a shed, I would almost say has found, I mean, I don't know. Some people only found a few. I'd say most people who found sheds have chew marks on them, man.
The one I found last weekend, woof.
Nothing ruins a shed quicker than fucking squirrels.
Is it squirrels or the mice? What gets them harder?
The squirrels get them the quickest, but to me, I just lose all interest in them if they're chewed up.
You don't even pick them up.
I let them grow. I leave them to grow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hold on a sec. That's not how this works. Yeah, dude. Okay.
Squirrel Those are patch. The ones I end up carving up.
Are they?
Yep.
You can just leave them for the squirrels, so they like a sacrifice.
Just leave the bigger ones alone. You guys can chew on these.
Chew on this one.
Ones.
I'm surprised you don't. As much as you like hunting or hunting four sheds, that you don't trap squirrels just to like.
If I ate those greasy bastards, I would go out and shoot them, but I won't.
Why?
You'd have food all year long, wouldn't you?
I would.
Why don't you eat them? Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I just never really had the taste for squirrel.
Yeah.
They just piss me off.
Think about all the antlers.
They taste
meat.
Like antlers.
Yeah. They're full of calcium.
Yeah. Little rotten bastards.
They'll settle your stomach, though. If you got an upset stomach, just eat squirrel.
Oh, okay. We're gonna get all into talking about sheds here, but we have a unpopular opinion segment, and this week's is we're not gonna need 5 minutes for this, so we're just gonna talk. I'm gonna do it because it'll hold us to a time frame. Shed traps and go, Dana. How do you feel about shed traps?
Absolutely hate them. I think it's the worst idea that anybody's ever came up with in the shed woods. Couple reasons. For one, you know, it could ruin shed pedicles or ruin the pedicle.
Yeah.
Yanking it off.
Which is where the antler connects to the skull pretty much.
And does everybody know what a shed trap is?
I don't know. Explain what you know of a shed trap because mine might be different.
For me, a shed trap is like a device where you put feed in or bait. And then they hook up, you know, strings or bungee cords or anything like
chicken
that.
Chicken wire, I've seen all
chicken wire, everything to help manipulate an antler to come off.
Basically, force it off.
Force it off, and then, I mean, a lot of times you'll see people that post pictures of dead deer in shed traps. You know, it's almost like getting caught in a fence if their antler's not ready to come off.
Yeah, it's not going to just come off.
Yeah, and basically I think that people that use shed traps might moan a little when they wipe their butt.
That's fair. That's fair. I like that.
Damn, Jesus, okay. That's Johnny. An opinion right there.
Wowzers.
They moan as they wipe from the front.
Wait, all right. All right. What do you mean? Is it you're not supposed to wipe from the front?
Well, you can't reach around your back, so.
Oh, damn.
It's on you.
Damn.
I feel sorry for all the women that have been near your gooch.
Yeah, you said trapped yourself.
So, yeah, I'm 100% against it. I think it's stupid. Just put the miles on and walk and find them the fairway. Are we all in agreement on that? Do we just end
I think
there?
So, yeah.
Have you ever found a shed trap or knew someone that used one?
I have not. I've only seen them on the internet.
I have. I don't.
That's the only time I've seen them too.
On the facial books.
Doug?
No, I've never seen someone use them. I've seen dead deer from them.
Yep. Okay, let me throw this at you. How do you feel about people if you can supplemental feed in your state, like a down log, shoving corn up underneath the log to coax an antler to come off, like if a deer tries to get his head in there?
I don't have. I'm not against that. Yeah. It's just, you know, when there's like fence or wire or string that they can get hooked up on, it's totally different. They're used to feeding out of logs all the time anyway. But
yeah, well, it'd be natural. It's
they're
like,
not used to feeding in chicken wire.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not against the tree stump thing or anything like that, because it's not like they're going to get stuck in the tree.
Know? If it's legal, do it. But shed traps, I wouldn't go there.
Is it actually stated in Illinois that they're illegal? Do we know that?
I do not know that.
I bet you it is.
I think they are illegal. Remember that conservation officer we knew, Scott? I think we posted something about it. He goes, hey, just want to let you guys know. He said something about, I think it was that the act of the feeding was illegal, but they may actually be illegal too, because I think you're trying to manipulate an animal.
It would make sense.
Yeah,
it would make perfect sense.
Should
if you're using a shed trap, you're usually feeding them.
Yeah.
You're just lazy.
Man. Yeah, it is lazy. It's kind of dirty. It's pretty cruel.
It is dirty.
All right, well, that was an easy one.
It's a bad idea.
Easy. Dana, sheds, man. It's the time. It's the time right now. It's deer are shedding. Right now, it is February 19th. On your properties, what percentage of deer would you say are shed right now?
I would go 70%. Are still holding.
Still holding.
I would say 30% have shed. Maybe even less than that, because most of the deer that I'm seeing are still holding tight.
Yeah.
Is that normal for this time of the year then?
No, I believe the weather's had a whole lot to do with it.
Like
they're not
being
stressed.
More mild or what?
Yeah, a mild winter. I mean, it's some places are dropping like crazy. Clayton's piling them up right now, but this part of the Midwest, they're just
I don't think we got hit hard that at all by the winter.
No, we've had a few cold days, but not long enough to stress them out enough to, you know, they've got plenty of food. I mean, it's turning green in Ohio already, so
that's crazy. Well, so when would be? So I know there's a lot of people that get anxious, especially when they see. And I know we've covered this in past shed episodes, but I want to just
refresh.
Do
on
it again, and because we're going to branch off in a different conversation within this.
New listeners,
yeah. New us, new studio. Anything can happen. Right now, because I'm kind of going through it a little bit, I see people finding these sheds. I'm like, oh shit, I got to get out there. I need to find them. Like, oh, squirrels are going to get them. Fucking squirrels. Neighbors are going to shed poach. You know, you just never know. I worry about it.
Shed poach.
Like, I'm going this weekend because I'm limited with trade shows and stuff like that. When I can go. What would you tell people right now that are getting super antsy, and when would you tell them the best time to go would be?
I still believe the first couple weeks of March are the best times to go, but if you're feeling antsy, most of my information comes from trail cameras, and if the trail cameras are showing so many deer holding still, it's pointless to go out and push them out of bedding and push them onto the neighbors. The neighbors will love you for it.
Yeah. That's fair. So March, first week of March.
Second week of March is probably going to be killer. I think this year, I've got vacation the first week of March, and I think I'm going to pile them up that week.
You take vacation for shed hunting.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Doesn't take any shed or vacation
shedcation
for hunting.
Shedcation.
Shit.
That is awesome. Okay, so
that's crazy.
What I want to do again is go over, because I put a post on Instagram and Facebook for people to submit questions. I saw some pretty good ones in there. What I want to talk is some people just, and I feel like I'm kind of in this club. I'm like halfway. It's like a lot of my properties, some of them deer don't live there. Other ones they do live there, and that's the ones where I find them, but I don't find as many as I think I should. So I kind of get frustrated, you know, because I'm doing everything I know I should be doing, I think anyway, I guess, unless you're going to drop some like secret shit on me real quick.
That's all the more reason to wait as long as you can before you go out anyway. If the deer aren't, if you're pressuring the deer, they're going to move out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're not going to stick around unless that's the only food source that they can hit.
Yeah.
But we're in the Midwest. They can get food just about anywhere. That's true.
Percentage-wise, where would you say, I mean, if you can give me a percentage number, where do you find most of your sheds?
I would say waterways and field edges. Anywhere where they could bed down in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the field edges have to have grass most of the time. If you could
like
find
a taller grass?
Yeah, it's more comfortable to bed in. Right. They can get out of the wind. If you got something tucked up that's south facing, even in the night, where the wind's blowing out of the northwest most of the times,
mm-hmm.
those grassy patches or the waterways where they can get just out of the wind, those are going to be your money spots.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So I would, I mean, standing beans and stuff, you'd probably have a killer time there.
Yeah. If you can find grass around standing beans, I pay more attention to the nighttime bedding spots than I do the actual day
in the timber spots. Because more time there? Or?
Yeah. And, you know, like I had said before, a deer doesn't just feed all night long.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get down or it'll come out, feed, and then lay down for a couple hours, get back up, feed again, and they'll do it all night long. And most of the times they bed in those waterways or those grassy edges. And
yeah.
When they're getting down when they're laying down and getting up, it's rattling those antlers around. If they're ready to drop, they're going to drop right there.
Mm-hmm. What is it about CRP that makes it feel like there's a shed around every goddamn blade of grass?
I don't know, but I love it.
Dude, it's such a great...
Every time you see a CRP field, you're like, there's got to be at least... Oh,
yeah. I can feel it in my loins. Yeah. I mean, it's just like... I'm like, there's an antler there. There's less squirrels. They're not as chewed. I really don't find many chewed antlers in CRP.
Yeah. I figured mice would get them.
I don't see a lot of mice chews. I mean, everything that I find is 100% squirrel but we are in Illinois, so.
That's true.
There is way too many squirrels in this state.
What do you think the biggest mistake is that people make when they look for sheds, besides going too early?
The biggest mistake? There's always this misconception where you've got to look and people have been told where you look 10 yards outside of the timber and 10 yards inside of the timber. And I don't feel like that pertains to anything about shed hunting at all. It's all the geography of the land, you know, the lay of the land, and also different each year properties change mm-hmm. as far as ag goes. And I see it on my properties where I have better years if it's corn, or they'll move off the property when it's beans because it's just not there's not a lot of waste grain when they pick beans in my area,
mm-hmm.
and when it's corn, I don't know if it's their corn head or whatever, but I always and maybe it's just because it's a higher calorie food that they tend to go to, but.
Mm-hmm.
Corn's always the best, and I guess I got off track on that, but
yeah.
I would say don't focus on 10 yards in and 10 yards out. It's never the same for each property.
So, okay, is there a spot, you know, saying going off geography, the lay of the land, how things work, how deer are using the property, whatever, is there certain spots that you're like – I don't need to shed hunt there because I know there's nothing down there. Or are you the guy, do you walk everything?
I usually walk everything. By the end of the year, I'll hit everything.
Every square yard of your property, pretty much. I mean,
yeah, hills, like when I hit south-facing slopes, I break it up into thirds. Mm-hmm. I'll hit the top third first, and then I'll hit the bottom third because most of the time when deer bed, they don't bed right at the crest of the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll come down where they're out of the wind. So mm-hmm. if you find anything, even in squirrel patch that's south-facing, break it up into thirds and make it easier on yourself. Yeah. That way you can hit everything.
Just stick to a pattern.
Yep. And always keep the sun at your back.
Why so? That's interesting.
Well, the sun throws out different shadows per se.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the sun at your back, typically the antlers will shine in front of you. If you're coming from the opposite way, the antler is going to be shadowed. So
Wow, that's a good tip. That's a really good tip. Somebody should write that down.
So kind of opposite of Kurt's question then, is there a spot where you, like every year, you're like, I know there's going to be sheds here?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I would say your grassy, any
like, is there one waterway where you just find?
There's one waterway that I can go every year, and usually there's sheds from three or four different deer there.
No shit.
Yep.
Really?
It's the lay of the land. It's just, you know, there's a slight depression in the waterway
mm-hmm.
that butts up to the timber on the south side, and every time I go in there, I won't hit it until, you know, late March, but since it's in the waterway, they don't get chewed up as much.
Oh, right.
I found a, it was a year ago yesterday, I saw on Snapchat Memories, I found a shed, like, right on, a, like, a creek, like, where there there's a crossing where
yep.
they put a, fucking, well, I can't think of what the,
water.
Culvert.
A culvert, where they put a little culvert in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that. I'm like, shit, I remember seeing that in Memories last year.
All right, I'm going to hit you with some Instagram questions, Dana.
All right.
And these are kind of random, which will be kind of fun. Kramer91 asked, what's your biggest typical match set and biggest typical single shed?
Biggest typical single was 76 inches as a 5-point. And then my biggest set is the 8-point set that you had seen.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And with all the squirrel chews on it, they still scored 73 and 69. And there's probably 6 inches chewed off each antler. So that's a giant 4x4 set.
That's massive, woof. Massive deer. So this is from, yeah, he's got a really long toe. I'm not even going to try it. Question from Aiden Hagarty of New York. Sorry if I mess up your name. Do you think shed hunting public land? Do you think shed hunting public land? You do not intend to take it away from hunters who hunt there. Does that make sense? Did I read that right? Do you think shed hunting public land? It's you taken, do not intend to hunt is taken away from hunters who hunt there.
That's a rough one. I mean, it is public land. It is everybody's. But right. To be honest, I don't spend a lot of time on public because I just don't have time to hit it. Mm-hmm. And in our area, there's just not as much public
land. It's few and
land,
far between
so
right here.
I feel like I'm shooting in the
that's
dark.
That's an interesting question.
It is because that's real deep too.
I never even thought of that.
Okay, this is his second part. Is shed hunting the first step in finding your target buck? If not, what is?
Trail cameras.
Trail cams.
It 100%. Especially, I don't... Where I find my sheds, that's not where they're spending their summertime. That's not where, you know.
Yeah, things are a lot different.
And everything in here in the Midwest is broke up into small parcels, so they're not.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of times where, you know, when I shot Triton this year that
mm-hmm.
he wasn't staying on my property, and I only seen him a couple times.
It's kind of flip-flopped a little
yep.
bit. So what percentage of, like, shed hunting do you think equates into, like, success in the fall for you? For your properties, I guess I should apply it.
In the fall, not, I would say lower percentage, like 25, 30.
Really?
But when it comes to late season, that's
yeah.
Well, I would say it's way higher because that's their winter range, which is where you find them when they shed. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I think Kristen McDaniel, she found the shed for Curly, and that's how they knew. They're like, okay, we got to definitely go find this deer. And I think that's when they started running cameras and found him.
That's a big deer too.
Yeah. Next question is by the great Instagram page of Make Hunting Great Again. Do you follow that page, Dana?
Yes, I do.
It's a great page.
It is a great page. MHGA make.hunting.great.again.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
he'll get that.
I haven't listened to any of his podcasts yet that he did, but I need to. Yes, is it okay to trespass as long as it's for sheds?
Well, Mark Reif said he did have bail money, so.
There you go.
Yeah, Mark did say that, yeah.
So, hey, there you go. I wonder if you listened to that previous episode. That's
well,
funny.
Now he's going to have to listen.
I mean, he better, you know?
Got to.
Leaves underscore D says, not a question, but I just wanted to let you know I found 10 80-inch hangers this year. Totally legit.
That is exactly what Facebook is trending right now. It is fucking retarded.
That's hilarious.
10 80-inch hangers.
I would say like 10% are true legit hangers. The others are like... and
they're propped up.
It's
how many hangers have you found?
Two.
Two?
Yeah, my wife's found two.
I found two. It's, dang, that's crazy.
I found one. Well, I didn't find it. Cody DeQuisto found it when I was with him. That's it.
Yeah, I only found one.
We're talking, maybe that's why I'm not finding any antlers this year. Maybe they're all in the trees.
They're all hanging right now.
That's
the
I mean,
squirrels.
That's
the squirrels are big.
That guy just found 10 of them.
Yeah, the squirrels are big enough. They're carrying them up in the trees.
Maybe I should start crawling on my hands and knees and looking up.
Hey, you know what it is? They're hanging in and they just fall off the trees once March hits. So that's you're finding old hangers that have fallen off the ground. That's how that works, dude. Spencer from Wisconsin. We kind of answered this one. Information when you find sheds during archery season, if so, how. We got that one. Thanks, Spencer. Nick Retka. Strategies for finding sheds in cropland with no food left standing. How far should a person be looking for a buck that was in the area all December and a little into January? Is it worthwhile to look in large swamps for sheds? So he's kind of two questions in one.
So as far as crop goes, looking in crop, you just got to spend a lot of time in it.
It doesn't sound like any fun, man.
It doesn't. Especially corn.
I glass them with binos, and then I'm over it in like 5 minutes.
No, it's it's a lot of work, and it's better to have more eyes than it is to go by yourself. But if the deer's there until... you know, mid-January, you're not seeing them anymore, or you're not getting any pictures of them, more chance than not his food patterns change.
Or so, he's shed and you just think he's a big doe.
That could be possible, too. You know, and it's always worth going and looking in the swamps. Hit everything. I mean, it's...
yeah.
You never know. There could be some swamp monsters in there. I've seen some people draw out some big, big sheds laying in the swamps for years that no one's never even wanted to go in and look at.
Okay, we kind of covered this a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and read this. I like how people are saying, like, Spencer from Wisconsin and like, saying where they're from.
Yep.
That's cool. And it helps because I don't have to try and read your Instagram names.
You don't have to sound like Steve reading out there.
Yeah, I kind of do. Dalton here in the Bluegrass State. What key areas are first on your list to check and blast when you set out to shed hunt an area? How long will you stay and look in those specific spots?
The first thing I hit are the field edges and the waterways. And as far as time that I spend in them, I don't know if they're looking for like, I mean, I'll hit a spot like 5 or 6 times before the end of the year.
Before you give up on it.
Before I give up on it.
So like you'll hit one spot, you're there, you hit every inch of it that you think you can, you'll leave and then you'll come back again.
Yep.
How many times have you combed an area, then came back and found a shed?
Oh, I can't even tell you. I mean,
like every time almost? Or?
No, it's not that high a percentage, but I would say like maybe like a 25% of the time you walk a spot. If it's in those high percentage areas, those spots on the field edges that there's still plenty of food and the deer are hitting it, that's... you know, there's more, you got higher odds of finding more sheds on those spots because the deer are visiting every night.
Yeah. Dude, so, my motivation, I get shot for that area if I walked it once really good.
Yeah.
And that's a bad, that shows my experience.
Because, you know, all the deer shed at different times.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
that's true.
4 or 5 years ago, I was on a buddy's property. I'd found like 3 or 4 sheds in this little CRP patch next to a standing bean field, and the last time I had walked it was probably late March.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went out for turkey season and hunted out there, and we picked up 4 more sheds in the same spot.
Really?
And they had all laid there for, you know, a couple weeks because I gave up for the year.
What's your break period between like those 5 times?
I like to try to give it a week or so.
Okay.
You know, that way I'm not over pressuring the deer out of there. But, you know, you got such a small window of time to pick up sheds
true.
Before turkey season starts and you're out there ruining hunts and stuff like that. So And then green up always kills shed season. So,
Do you get shed anxiety?
Oh God! So,
like, describe Dana's shed anxiety to us, because we need to know.
2 weeks ago, it was the week of the garage party, and I had went down on the Monday before the garage party and changed batteries and cards and stuff in the cameras. And then the cell cam started sending me a picture of the, which would be our number one hit lister this year, Kronos. And it was a day after I had changed the batteries, and I got a picture of a deer that is fully shed, and I was like, God dang, man, that looks like him. And I started studying pictures and stuff like that, and my daughter tells me, you can't go down there without me. She's, I want to find those sheds. And eventually she's ended up saying, you know, if I don't get to find those sheds first, I'm done hunting.
Ooh.
So the whole week, I couldn't
take
go down.
Easy.
Dude, I was moping around the house. I was trying to get her to call in, or to to get her out of school.
She wouldn't fall for that?
She wouldn't. She's,
he's actually cleaning the house and vacuuming and shit.
No, it wasn't my wife. It was my daughter. I mean, she was just like...
She just that good a kid? She wouldn't skip school?
Nope.
Now, you want some ice cream?
No, she wouldn't skip volleyball. She wouldn't skip anything. And I had to end up waiting until Sunday till we could get out. And oh, man, it was killer. And then we didn't even find the sheds. I think they're
squirrels
in a
got them.
They could be. They could have been.
You didn't look in the trees.
The deer might have buried them.
They're hanging, dude. That's the thing.
You got to look up.
Yeah, I got to look up.
They're in a coyote den somewhere.
Yes, a coyote's got them. Someone posted a picture of a coyote with a shed in its mouth.
Big one, too. That was crazy. Yeah.
That's some satanic shit, dude. Coyote with a shed in its mouth?
Not really. My dog's chewing them like crazy.
Well, I know. I'm being hypothetical.
Oh, yeah, but
coyotes suck, and then to see a coyote carrying off a shed, you're just like, no.
With the fawn in its mouth, too.
Oh, my God. Whoa. He's getting a scent. He's like, I'm going to go kill this buck.
Okay, these are kind of funny. This is, I'm on to Facebook now. Sean Polkey asked,
Polkey,
where did your meme creation skills come from? Are they self-taught? What's a bigger honor, being on Team WCB or being the official meme man of WCB?
Oh, I don't know how you come up with this shit.
That's high praise.
My inspiration comes from dark sarcasm, and I would say 22 years on a shop floor. We've got our own language.
Yeah, you
know, we might not be able to survive the day without that shit.
I think the memes would be a lot funnier if 90% of them weren't directed at you. But you know,
we talked. Those are the best ones.
My favorite's the one where it was like that funeral, and it's just Kurt doing like the peace sign over the grave.
I got a funny one that I gotta post the one that you made, Eric looking at Steve's turtle.
Oh,
and it's that black dude rubbing his hands together, like licking his lips.
I'm wearing like a banana jacket.
Yeah, that's that dude.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah, I don't think I did.
It's good.
So the dude is Spice Adams, and he's the dude who goes, aha.
I was trying to figure out how to put a mullet on him.
Oh, that would be a blonde mullet.
Yeah,
you can figure it out.
Okay. I'll do it now.
Okay, this one's funny, Josh Sisti. How many more sheds do you think you'd find if you started climbing trees to look in squirrel nests?
I think he's got the wrong approach. We need to be looking down. We need to be looking up from the ground.
Right, for sure.
There's another animal that's chewing on animals here. Casey Gamble's in studio. He's showed us a video of a cow chewing on a shed. Dude, nothing would want to
make a lot of critters after him now.
I'd be wanting a hamburger bad, and I want to flip the burgers with that shed, like that bastard.
Out of every cut on a cow, you pick a hamburger.
You flip the burger with the antler.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Never
forget.
It's even a cut. Yeah,
there's some good questions in here. Danny Green, what are a few pointers on how to train a dog to find sheds? I use an antler to play fetch with my dog and reward him every time he brings it back to me. Is that a good thing or a bad thing to do? I have no clue what I'm doing, so any advice is appreciated.
That's kind of dark territory for me because I failed at my dog, so.
So don't take advice from
Advice. My shed dogs are my kids, so.
Didn't you say
they don't get thrown?
Well, you raise them pretty good.
You might have said this on a previous episode. I thought you said you when you started your dog off, you gave him too big of a shed.
Yeah, and I gave her a real shed too. So when she was running, bringing the shed back to me, mm-hmm. she dropped it and it gouged her, and she was done. She wouldn't pick up another shed.
Wow, man, that's something that probably gets overlooked a lot.
A lot of people start with like the rubber plastic sheds that are smaller, and then you know they use visual and scent. So they make a lot of shed antler scent, and you don't want to, if you're planting sheds for your dog to find, you don't want your scent on the shed.
Oh yeah,
that true. Dog will start looking for your scent on shed. So,
oh, that's really interesting.
That's bizarre.
So you got to wash your sheds.
Yep, or wear rubbers.
Yeah, well, Doug.
hard pass.
Hard pass.
As he's pulling him out of his mustache.
I get
he doesn't.
I guess we're not getting a shed dog.
Chance, this is a good one. I'd try to say your last name, man, but I don't want to offend you. I'd like to hear him touch on his underwear of choice. I feel it's an overlooked aspect to remaining comfortable during some of those 70-degree humid all-day hikes. What are you using to keep the fire from starting? Spandex, powder, combinations? My wife swears by the comfort of being commando. Is freeballing an option for us dudes, or should we cage the boys?
Do not freeball while you're shed hunting.
Also, do you have anything you consider your good luck charm? Hat, maybe, a shirt, or lucky socks, maybe?
Underwear, I just wear...
Whitey tighties. Nice,
jockey,
got it.
Boxer briefs. Do not go commando, because if you take a thorn in your nuts, you will...
That's a great point.
It'll be a day ender.
I feel like you know this from experience.
Yeah. You take a locust thorn to the sack,
I've
day's
switched over.
Over
to the ball bag.
Brush pants.
To the ball bag.
To the ball bag.
To the punch bag. Oh.
Dude, he got bracketed. It was one thorn for two nuts.
Dude, you're trying to hop a fence again on Mark's neighbor's property to look for those sheds and you catch your sack in a stray piece of barbed wire.
One slip.
You don't not want having a good day.
Thorns in your taters.
One slip equals one slip, man. Watch out.
That's all it takes.
There's a reason why Dana's not having any more kids.
I shoot powder.
Do you have any luck?
Oh, damn.
He's always got a wind director.
There's my wife shirt. Loves to be antiqued.
Damn. Secondhand or what?
Jesus.
It's tough out here, man. It's tough out here for Dana's wife.
Damn. We're definitely
she's
in the
love,
we're
she's
definitely,
love that one. Isn't she?
We're definitely in the shop one. Right now.
Yeah. Did you say some kids at your daughter's school listen to this podcast or something?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They're wearing the shirts around school.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's
the fucking scroll patch.
The fucking scroll patch ones?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
My boy's sporting it.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Trouble, yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I would wear that. He's like, I'm wearing it, Dad.
Did they say anything to him?
Nope.
What?
Never said a word to him. I don't know if they
don't know how to read.
Evidently not.
The antlers throw them off.
The antlers throw them off.
The principal walks by and high fives like, yeah, fuck them squirrels.
Dude, how old's your kid? Your boy?
16.
He's wearing it to high school?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
That's awesome.
I used to wear a Little Devil brand BMX clothing brand shirts in high school, and they'd always, and it wouldn't even say anything bad, but they always have to make me, it said sucks on it. And they made me turn it inside out. I'm like,
he might not be able to wear it after this podcast if they're listening.
Just let him wear it.
I'm letting him wear it.
You think any of the teachers wear it? Or listen, I mean?
He's got a lot of buddies that listen, so.
They'll be fine. Just, hey, don't be a narc, you know?
And buy a shirt and wear it to school.
No shit. Support the cause. Fuck the squirrels.
it's a good cause.
Make shed hunting great again.
That's a good one. Trevor Schmidt asked, what time do I need to be at his property to shed hunt with him? How many sheds will he find this season? What deer does he have on camera that he really wants to find his antlers? So how many sheds and what
getting
deer
personal.
Are you targeting? Yeah, getting after you.
Damn, bro.
My goal is always 80 sheds in a season. I've came
80.
Up short the last couple years, but if I'm in the ballpark, I'm happy.
What was last year's total?
73.
Woo!
But I'm off. This year has been the slowest start that I've had in years, like since the beginning of shed season for me. Or shed hunting.
When did this all start for you, shed hunting?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Like, when did you start getting crazy about it?
Hey, when did you find your first antler?
My first antler in 98. I think that was the first year I found a shed antler.
God damn.
And then...
That's when the NWO started. Fuck.
That I found it shed hunting, or pheasant hunting. I was walking down a deer trail in some CRP, and I basically tripped over it, and I was like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started hitting it after that, and then it's been... It's been an uphill climb ever since.
How many do you think you found in your entire shed hunting career? That's probably an impossible question.
That's going to be a hard one.
I don't. Jesus.
Dude, Jesus.
Mine, I don't know.
Like 80 a year?
I have a fair pile, but it's just like 2 years of year shed hunting.
It's...
Actually more like couple, 1 year probably.
I'm just guessing if I say a couple thousand.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're finding... I mean, how many times... I mean, is it often...
I can't do math on the fly.
Are you almost always over 50 sheds a year?
For the last 10 or 12 years, I have been.
Over 50 every year.
Yep.
That's fucked, yeah, dude. That's getting up in there.
If I find 12, I'm killing it.
Yeah. If I find like 15, I'm happy.
Dude,
yeah.
If I find one, you guys are like, eh, there's potential.
Oh, Steve did some shit. That's interesting. Yeah, to think about the number of antlers. How many antlers do you think are at your house right now? Sheds?
A couple thousand?
No, I don't.
It's them all.
I only have big sheds. The rest of them I carve up.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean.
Man, I'm surprised you're not the guy with like the shed antler Christmas tree.
No, that's my like buddy Dan.
Yeah?
My buddy Dan's got 6,000 sheds in his basement.
You have a pile? Shit. Like, I have a little pile that I throw all my sheds in. I think it's just kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, that's what I do, and then display them on, you know, I don't have a trophy room yet, and I'm going to have to get one because I'm...
Just put a mound up of just antlers.
Just a Christmas tree would... My buddy Dan's got a Christmas tree that he makes almost every year.
That's awesome.
What's your best year?
83.
The 2 years ago?
86. It was 3 or 4 years ago.
I remember that.
No, it was 83. It was 83. Because I had went to South Dakota.
Mm.
I bet back in the day, if you knew what you knew now, you'd probably...
Oh, my God, man.
Not that many people shed hunted back then.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, when I was younger... Some of the property that I hunted on, if I would have known to shed hunt, it would have been
killer.
Here's the funny one here. Bobby asks, does a shed even count if it's not a hanger?
No, it does not count.
And then Jared Dalton says, does he find sheds or do sheds find him? All fair questions, I feel.
They are fair. Sometimes they do find me.
Well, what's the most important thing you think to being successful in finding sheds? I just don't want to get monotonous here with all the shed episodes we've done, but it's kind of a limited.
Yeah, it is a limited.
I'm trying to dive deep on something that I don't know how much deeper it goes.
Basically, it's putting in the miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you cover your property.
Keeping
positive. Hitting them at different angles. You know, if I know that there's big sheds in there, or if there's sheds in there, I grid search it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's super easy to walk by sheds. I wonder how many. I probably walked by as many sheds as I've picked up.
Which is crazy to think.
That's fucked up to think about.
It's fucked up to think that I probably walked by more sheds than I've ever found.
Yeah, I'm not going to think about that.
Yeah, it's
that hurts.
Yeah.
Got to do it though.
Well, the one I found this past weekend, there was someone else's boot tracks right on the path where the shed was.
Unbelievable. It's super easy.
Probably mine.
Could have shed after, though.
And just think in the grass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the best times to walk grass is after heavy, heavy snow, and it mats it all down. Yep. And last year, I picked up a shed with my daughter, Claire, and we were out in this big CRP field. It was more like a 10-year field. And the year previous, I picked up a 5-point shed. It was like my last shed of the season. And it was like just over 70 inches. But I looked all over for the match to that shed. And I figured it'd be in the property that you walked with me.
Yep.
And I figured it'd be in there and never found it. Well, the next year, we had all that heavy snow early in January. And it matted all the grass down enough that when we were walking through the grass, there was a mound out there that I was like, man, that just looks weird. walked over, and it was that big ass shed that had been laying there for a year.
Eric missed it.
I don't think he walked up that draw. He stuck closer to the timber.
He definitely missed it.
Yeah, he told us to stay in the timber. He did all the waterways. He's like, I know where this fucker's at.
Yeah, just go down.
I was looking for that drop tine shed.
Yeah, you were.
I was trying to match it up, but we never found it.
Man, you know what I'm saying? How I was saying earlier, like I'm trying to dive deep on something because that's what I like about trying to pattern whitetails and get on them because it can get really methodical and deep and layered. You know, and
your biggest, I would say the best stuff to look for would be what your deer are doing late season.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if they're not on your property and they're not spending a lot of time on your property, you could have the best cover in the world, but it's going to do you no good if you don't have the food. If they're not there, then you're...
Right. Well, you know, I was thinking about it. One of the properties I grew up on, it's almost all timber. I know some deer spend time there at this time of year, you know. And I was actually just telling my wife the other day, I'm like, you know, I'm going to hit that spot. I'll probably hit it a couple times, but I think I'm going to stick to just the obvious areas where you'd expect to find some sheds, which I have found sheds there before. But the rest, I have beat to death that property several times over and over again throughout a season. It's just very exhausting. And I think in all the years that I grew up hunting there, we've maybe found 3 sheds actually in the timber there.
Timber's hard.
It's hard, man.
I still feel like they spend most of their time
fringing,
you know. You gotta look for that topography change, those edges, because it's still the same when you're shed hunting. You know, they still tend to stick to fringes. I mean, that's the perfect word for it.
They're just straight up fringe animals. Yep. I think sometimes we dive past that obvious pattern. I mean, because something you think big bucks are always deep, and sometimes they are, most times they are, depends on where you're at. But like, I killed both my bucks this year on fringes.
Yep.
And that's where I found most of my sheds last year, on fringes. The biggest shed I've ever found was on that property that I grew up on that I was saying was really hard. I found that laying out on the edge of timber in an open field. I spotted it with my binos from like 300 yards.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to put the miles in. I mean, I think last year I tacked up 800 miles walking.
No shit.
I put a lot of miles in.
Okay, I got a question for you because I've been seeing this happen a lot. And I actually had my boy Jeremy from Buckstorm send me some screenshots from several different people. And not like attacking them personally, but laughing at their comment on how many miles they did in the day and showing their shed pile. What is the max, do you think? I'm just, give me an estimate. What is the, while shed hunting, like really looking for sheds, what's the maximum distance a person could actually do in a day?
Oh, shit.
I mean.
One day in South Dakota, I put on 22 miles.
Really?
Jesus. Yep.
And I was fucking dead. And
you
I was
sleep for 3 days?
No, we got up. We got a couple hours of sleep and went out the next day.
But, holy shit. I didn't. I honestly. If you would have posted that, I would have thought you were full of shit.
No, and I did it in a new pair of fucking boots, too, and it sucked.
Man.
How your heels?
The blisters were fucking horrible.
I think I did 12 one day in Illinois, but I was, like, looking, so I'm not, like, balls to the wall running. And I did 12 miles in one Saturday, and I was shot.
It's all uphill, downhill. It's not a straight 22 miles. And my wife did it with me. Yeah. I think she got, like, 18 miles in. And she might not have got quite that much, but towards the end of the day, we went back to the house, and she's like, screw it, I'm done. I'll cook for everybody. And then we all went back out.
You're like, that's what I wanted the whole time. Before you out, now you can stay.
I think when I was
we hungry.
18 or 16, I put in around 20 miles in one day.
Yeah, it's easy to do. I mean, especially if you're having success.
That's true. You're fine. Like, oh, yeah, we walked 12.
I found 20 that day.
We walked 12 miles last weekend, and we were having a terrible time because we weren't finding shit.
It's hard. It's hard.
I run out of ground. I don't know. You know what I mean? If I do 12 miles, I cover all my shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's thorough then.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not.
Which is even worse because you're like, I walked the whole fucking property.
Man,
I got nothing to show for it.
There ain't shit here. I love shed hunting, but at the same time, I hate it just as much as I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Love hate relationship.
Like you start the day like if I find five, I'll be happy.
What's the most shit?
Down to one. If I find something and broken
time, and then you're
12
miles in, you haven't found anything. Like fuck, if I just find one, I'm gonna be happy. Yeah,
give me a Steve buck. It doesn't even have to have main beer. Right? Just give me a.
Give me a button.
What's the smallest shit you found?
I would. Spiked. It was 3 inches.
ATVs.
Yeah.
We had the in-studio listener point out, he's like, I ride an ATV. I'm like, well, shit. Well, there you go.
That's in the pudding on the table here.
For field edges, yeah. That's awesome. It's hard. You can't ride them in the timber most places.
You're not going to comb it like you would on
no.
foot. But it covers a lot.
It does cover the edges, and an ATV would help in those big crop fields.
So funny, Steve. Yeah.
I got a meme idea for Dana. Dana, you got to get like the you know the dudes that are like what was it, Thunderdome, and just get all the guys. It's like how Westies look for sheds on side by sides or some shit. Like that. That's how they're covering 57 miles.
I probably won't do that one.
Oh, you should.
So
be great.
Terrible idea.
His memes are his own. Leave him alone.
Let's break down some sheds on the table before we close her down here. So what'd you bring this time in studio? Some goodies.
I brought my. This is probably the weirdest shed I've ever found. My corkscrew shed. It laid a year, but looks like it would have had another main beam, so it would have had 3 main beams on it.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
It's like a giant ass brow with like a what would be
make
a second
great
main
golf
beam.
Tee.
Yeah, or when you buy a lamp from Cabela's before they put the nail on it.
Exactly. Then it broke some stuff off too.
Yeah, it did. It looks like it had busted off an extra.
Did you know that, deer, you said?
No, it's on the property that I hunt, but I had just picked the property up to hunt, so
I didn't see it.
I hadn't got any pictures of it, and I didn't ever get any pictures of it.
It probably made you think it went back to normal.
It may have. I don't know. It's pretty awesome, though.
What's this big guy with the big split at the top of his right two here?
This is my largest drop tine shed.
How many drop tine sheds you got?
Doug and I were talking. I can't tell you how many I've got.
I can't even tell you.
Hold that up. I'm going to take a photo. More than 10?
You can't do that, somebody.
It's probably pretty close to 10.
How many
What's the most sheds you found in a day?
22.
In one day?
In one day.
Wow, man. That's nuts. That's more than I found in a year. My record's like 15.
I just saw Eric's face.
That was out west.
Shit was hilarious.
I should find this old picture I have of me and my family. We found, I think, 50 sheds. In one day.
Really?
Damn.
Holy crap, man.
It was like on a Buick, too, like a shed mobile.
Dude, that's a little dropper.
Dude, that's my favorite.
Dropper.
Like, why can't I find that? Just give me a little drop
tie. Man, that's a future giant.
Give me that without the drop tie. I don't give a shit.
I could use that Saturday.
I'm with Eric on that.
With the drop tie, I leave it alone. Without it, it's a carver.
Yeah, that drop tie's cool on that buck. Little guy.
Little kickstand.
All right, what's this big boy right here, this big right side?
This is a 71-inch four-point.
Ooh, boy. That's not the one, is it? Is it?
No.
That's a thick boy.
That's a giant.
The other one's bigger.
He's a thick
That thing
boy.
Carries big. It
it's heavy.
Massive.
It's super heavy antler. I've got 3 years' worth of sheds off this deer on the same property that I found this on.
Man. Gee willikins, dude. What's this other big boy, this four-point? Oh, it's a set, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a set that I found last year. It's not a giant set, but it's...
Dude, I call that a giant set. Ooh, Mike.
Oh, run right in the mic.
Hitting the mic with shed antlers is acceptable here in our studio.
Yeah, the only time.
My bad.
We'll allow it.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
This is a pretty cool character set that I found.
It's a nice buck, man.
But I think that this deer might be dead. Because I found a shed buck laying 20 yards from this set.
Oh, really?
And I never went back to get the head to see if it matched up, but...
Holy you think crap. That happens a lot?
Yeah, I find a lot of dead, or a lot of shed dead bucks.
Really?
Yep, it's crazy.
Like how in the shed cold? Dead head?
I don't know if it's from the cold, because a lot of the ones that I don't know if they're injured during season, or if they get sick, and or maybe just run down from the rut, because...
They could be sick and just can't make it through the cold.
Yep.
Or something. You never know.
But you'd be surprised how many deadheads you walk up on that have shed already.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man. Well, I'm hoping to get out and find some this weekend and next weekend, and hopefully find a couple during the week is the game plan. So
it'd be awesome.
We
it's
will
time.
See. Good luck to everyone out there looking for sheds. Well, I guess we'll close right there. I mean, I always feel like with shed episodes that we forget something.
I always... And then...
Send us pictures of the big boys. I don't know if you just find some big boys.
Yeah, I let do us have know. Some big boys,
some
but
thick
I don't.
Boys.
Some thick boys. If you find some thick boy sheds, let us know.
Thick boy sheds.
And no, yes, we're not
if,
making
hey,
that a shirt.
Hey, if you guys get pictures, if you find sheds in your fucking squirrel patch shirts, send us some pictures. That'd be
ooh,
awesome.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
I think we should do a contest.
I think that's our problem.
We're going to do a contest.
We didn't wear the squirrel Let's patches.
God damn it.
Okay, we need to announce that on the social, but we'll announce it now. We'll make it up on the fly. Send us pictures with you holding a shed wearing your squirrel patch shirts, and we will pick someone from the batch. And so if you're only one, you win. We'll send you a we'll send a working class bow hunter swag package.
Yeah,
swag package.
I'll throw in a mushroom carving.
Oh yeah,
oh damn! Nice. The stakes are high, boys.
All right, that's awesome. Oh, working class bow hunter shoot, Ryo, Illinois, Galesburg Archery Club, June 20th. Everyone is welcome. It is open to the public. A full 3D archery course. 30 targets through
Can't
the woods.
Wait.
They got all. That's the setup. It's going to be awesome. And there's campgrounds nearby. No camping on site. No, you can drink there, but no alcohol on the course. And I think it's going to be a good time. Come on out. We're going to have giveaways from HHA, Scent Crusher. Rumor has it that we might be giving away a couple elite bows. There might be some XOP stand giveaways there, some big time giveaways. I mean, what else do you want? We'll figure it out.
We got it all.
We got it all.
You meet Steve.
What else you need? Bring some Yingling if you're coming from out east, because I heard one of the, Eric likes Yingling.
Love him.
I like Yingling. Black and tan.
Oh, yeah, you do.
There we go. And some of the guys from Galesburg Archery Club like it, too. So I said, well, I'll put a calling out to the people.
I'm sure we can make that happen.
And they'll bring it on in. All right, Eric, you got anything to close it with? Doug?
Good luck shed hunting.
Do work.
That's it.
Dana?
Good luck shed hunting. Keep the sun at your back.
Oh, I like that. Steve?
Hey, Dana, thanks for coming. Casey, thanks for showing up and hanging out, too.
He brought some big sheds.
He did.
We're about to measure them up right
we're
now.
They may need a rape kit by the time we're done with them.
Hey, I'll call D-Rock for you. All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Go shoot your bow. We love you.